You are about to listen to an anointed, challenging and dynamic word from the ministry of Pastor Andrew John of Direct Touch Ministries International. Touching hearts, reaching lives. Stay tuned and be ready as you receive this message from God's word that will challenge your everyday life.
Greetings and welcome once again to another time in the Word of God. Bless the name of the Lord, and it's very, very good to be with you today right here on UGN Jams, and I'm so glad and privileged to be able to share the Word of God with you today, the listener, to be able to encourage you that we can reason together, lifting up the name of the Lord together and encouraging one another to press on to do whatsoever the Lord has us to do. Bless the name of the Lord. And you know, we are going to be going into Word today. But before we go there, we must say greetings to our Dr. Dave P and our minister Helen LaPaule of this number one internet gospel station, UGN Jams. Bless the name of the Lord. People, I'm telling you, it's good to be connected with the right people. It's good to be connected with people who mean business. It's good to be connected to people who are, as they say, of like mind. You know what they say? Birds of a feather flock together. And it's very important to mix and be blending with people who think along the same levels of you or think higher than you, and will encourage you to get to wherever you're going, and you can encourage them to get to where they're going as well. So I'm asking that you really encourage one another. That's why we're here on UGN Jams. That's why we're all fellowshipping with each other right now. That's why we're joining each other in the Word of God today to encourage one another. That's good, isn't it? We're all of like mind with each other. We're all with one accord with each other. And we are all praising the name of the Lord together. So we bless God for UGN Jams. We pray that God will continue to expand the ministry of UGN Jams and the purpose of UGN Jams. And God will get full glory and praise out of it. Bless the name of the Lord. I'm excited about today, and you know what, all what is taking place in the world today, we know that there's ups and downs taking place, and my God, is there a literally like a tsunami of people passing away. But you know something, God is still upon his throne, and I pray God will strengthen each and every one of us out there who are going through our present situations, our present losses at this time, and I pray God will really be the one to encourage your life and to help you in the midst of this journey, and very much so in the midst of this time as well, in this Christmas season. And I pray God will strengthen you right now, and that your spirit will be lifted to be able to propel into whatsoever the Lord has you to do. Bless the name of the Lord. Well, we're going into conclusion of our part seven, but the conclusion of this word of timing, the brink of time, and we're going to share that with you right now in the Word of God today. So we're going to go into this word right now, and we're going to see where the Lord is going to take us here, because we are concluding this right now. But this was taken from John, John 11. I thought it was Luke 11, but it's John 11. We're taking this from John 11. We were speaking about this just the other day, but let's just read it through. Let's just read it through and see where we go from here. In fact, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to give you a quick synopsis of it, and then we'll go into the part where we left off. And so we're talking about Lazarus here, and Lazarus being the brother of Martha and Mary, and he was sick at the time, and now basically he had died, and Mary and Martha were very saddened at that time. And so Jesus was out there doing his thing with his disciples and so forth. And it came to the point that as all of this was taking place, word came to Jesus and basically told him that Lazarus, your good friend, has died. And Jesus actually emphasized to them that he is asleep. But you know what? At the end of the day, all was taking place. He is still in control, because he is the one to come to deliver them from all of their sins. But, you know, as the time goes on, we have, as we go through the word, and he tries to encourage them that everything is going to be all right. But yet they're convinced in their spirit that how is this going to work? One, you're going to go into an arena or into a place where people hate you. They tried to kill you before, but yet you're going there anyway. And so they didn't really want you to go there, the disciples. But he says, I'm going to make a journey into the place because I have to go and see to my friend who is dead. But I'm going to show him for show you that through the glory of God, he can become alive again. So as the time goes on, you've got Mary and you've got Martha. Both of them come at two different times. Martha being the first one coming running to Jesus and asking him to come. And, well, saying if he was around, her brother would have not have died. She's come first, and then also a little after that, Mary comes. But before that, he says that I'm glad, I'm really happy in lines of the words what he said to Martha. Even though Martha's confidence was there to know that he would live, he then says to her that I am the resurrection and the life. I love those words that has been said there. And I love the words that Mary said, Martha said to him as well, that even though this situation has happened, whatever you would ask of God or ask the Father, he would give it you. And I'm really happy about those words, because Jesus actually says that in one of the portions of the scriptures, that whatsoever you ask in my name, whatsoever you ask of me, the Father will give it to you. By faith, by you believing, he will give it to you. And I'm really happy about those words, which was said right there by Martha. But along those sides as well, you got Mary, who comes along, and she says exactly the same thing to Jesus. And Jesus, there, seeing Mary in a state, my God, you know, when the situation happens around your life can crumble in such a way, and your faith can be depleted and decreased in such a way so that you yourself don't even feel lifted in your spirit. Can I say to you that, you know, it's not a bad thing to feel low in your spirit. It's not a bad thing to feel weak in your spirit. It's not a bad thing to feel as if you've failed. The bad thing is if you stay down, if you fall down. The bad thing is to know that you can become, you when you're weak, you remain weak and you're never going to rise again. The bad thing is to know that when you have failed, you're not going to accomplish anything after that. That's the bad thing. The good thing is that when Jesus said that when you're weak, the Bible says that when you are weak, he is made strong. And he says, I will find in your weakness, I will find strength. I will use my strength, for my strength is made perfect through weakness. Jesus said that. God said that right there in his word. Right there, his strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. When we are weak, then he is strong. We are prone to be weak at times. If we never serve the Almighty God, he will never prove himself strong in our lives. Bless the name of the Lord. So don't beat up yourself when you become weak at times. Just know that there's a God there who's going to lift you up. No matter how low you may fall, he will lift you up. Only if you believe as well, though, that he can do that. And you know, even at a time when our faith is so low that we don't see God, we don't see strength, we don't see hope, we don't see breakthrough, even in the midst of that, God is still able to come and lift us up. See, when our faith is depleted, God will step in. You know, he doesn't even need our faith at times. He just knows that he needs you to understand, I'm here to rescue you. My God, help us right now. But you know what? When we have a hope in him, when we can be strong in that, that is a good thing. And that is a thing that Jesus is trying to teach us along the way throughout the scriptures. And then it comes to the point when, as I said, Jesus is Mary is weeping, and as she is weeping, the Bible says that they were all weeping as well. They were all saddened. And look what it says here. This is where we're going to come straight into it now. Let's read from verse 31. It says here, the Jews, them which were with her in the house and comforted her. This is verse 31. When they saw Mary that rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Watch this. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. She'd done that before when he first was introduced into their home. She was there kneeling down at the feet of Jesus and listening to all of what he had to say. Watch this. Saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, watch this, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. We spoke a little bit about that, and I did the reversing that in lines that when we are groaning in our spirit and when we are troubled, that Jesus can come through for us. But this scripture here is plainly saying that Jesus groaned in the spirit and was troubled. You see, Jesus's flesh was still in operation right there. You know, he couldn't do anything except the Father did something through him. He wasn't the one who was running the show. His Father was. He said, I'll do nothing except the Father tell me. And so his flesh was dead because that's his friend. That is his friend. You know, Jesus had thoughts at times of thinking to himself, boy, you know what? I don't know how this is going to work out. Father, you know all the plans and so forth, and I know that we are one. But right here, right now, the way how things are happening, I'm only following your lead. I'm following your lead, Jesus, because I don't know what on earth is taking place. I don't know what is happening. I don't know what is about to happen. But one thing I know, your name is going to be glorified in the midst of all of this. One thing I know, that you said that I am the resurrection and the life. One thing I know, that there is going to be breakthrough right here. But in the midst of that, even though I haven't seen it yet, manifested in the front of me and in front of everybody else, my spirit still feels low. My spirit still feels troubled. You're saying to yourself, but how can Jesus' spirit feel troubled? He is the one. He is the great I am. You've heard it already. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Yes, all of that is being said, but look what it says here. I never said it. He said it right here. It says it right in the scripture. It says he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. My God, I wonder if you understand what I'm talking about here. Jesus himself. See, when your emotions get involved in situations around you, your spirit will get troubled and you will groan in your spirit. Jesus, if we were groaning in our spirit, Jesus groaned in his spirit as well. His flesh acted right there because that's his friend. Dead for 4 days. And now he's groaning. Look what else he says. And said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Watch this. Verse 35, Jesus wept. So not only did he groan in his spirit, not only was he troubled, the Bible says he wept. He wept. They saw the human side of Jesus. They saw the compassion. They saw the sorrowful side. They saw what was taking place right there in Jesus. And they perceived a way as another human would perceive a way when somebody's groaning, when somebody's groaning in their spirit when somebody is troubled and when somebody is weeping. Oh, I wonder if you're hearing me right now. You see, the Bible says that we must weep with those who weep and have joy with those who have joy. We ought to be able to react and respond to each other in that way so that we can encourage one another. But Jesus was in this position where he felt in his spirit, I have to do this so that people can follow my lead on this. But you see, his flesh got into the way, so others now responded to what they saw. And it's so easy for that to happen. But look what happens here. I love this. You see, this will throw everyone. But you see, when it comes through, it's already thrown everyone anyway because of what is about to happen. But look at this. Look what happens here. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. Verse 37. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Timing. You see, this is the thing what people don't understand. People want things in their time. Jesus knows how things work, because his Father says it, how things work in the Father's time. There's one portion of the scripture where they ask the Lord, is he going to come and rescue the Jews now to show them about the kingdom? Is he going to do that? And Jesus's response is that you don't need to know the Father's working of his business. All you need to know is that the Spirit of the living God is going to fall afresh on your life and you will be anointed with power to do the business of God. So go ye into all the world and preach the gospel in all different parts of the regions of the world. Don't worry about the business, what God has in store. He knows what he's doing. They said to him, why? I wonder why he couldn't, if he opened the blinded eyes, why couldn't he do something here and prevent this one from dying? Every time you want to step up the game and make it look like this could never be God. And this is what we face in the world today itself. This is the kind of thing we face in the world. People are trying to put in a jigsaw how God should be working. Well, my brother shouldn't have died. Well, my mother shouldn't have died. Well, my sister shouldn't have died. Well, my husband shouldn't have died. My wife shouldn't have died. Who are we to know the plan and purpose of Almighty God? He is the great I am. He is the one who knows our beginning and our end. He knows the course of the life in which we take. And his timing is impeccable. My God, his timing is precise. My God. And we just have to say, God, you know best. It may not look nice for you and for me. It may not sound nice. It may not feel nice. But God, you're in control. You are in control. Watch this, what it says here. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Watch this. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he have been dead 4 days. My God, he says that he would be stink. Listen, what you need to understand is, oh my God, here we go again. It's not our time. Is his. You say to yourself, Pastor John, but you know what? That's a little bit OTT. Let me show you what's OTT. Never mind about the Lazarus being there for 4 days. Let's go back in scripture and see what it says. When Ezekiel was right there in the valley of dry bones. My God, and God says, can these bones live? Merciful Father. And in the midst of that, he said, yes, he can. He said, well, now speak, my God, speak. And the breath of God came, and not only did flesh go onto those bones, but breath and life came into them too. Listen, those were dry bones. Those were bones without any flesh. Those were bones without any organs. Those were bones without any ligaments. There were bones without any brain matter, any blood cells. That was bones, my God. Without any breath in them, they were dead. Can these dry bones live? Listen, there's a timing of what God does. Listen, let's go even further. When the man of God's body, my God, Cub was thrown on top of a grave, that somebody was dead. My God, as soon as the prophet's body landed right there on top of that grave, my God, all of a sudden, that man springs up out of that grave. My God, I don't know how long he was dead for, but he sprung to life. Listen, we're talking about Lazarus now, and we're talking about the timing of God. We're talking about Jesus the Almighty. He don't care if you're stinking. He don't care if you're smelling. He don't care if you've gone so far that you can't be retrieved. When God wants to come and revive you in your life and bring you back to life and take you out of the sin that you're in, take you out of the rubbish that you've dug a hole in for yourself, once God knows that he can rescue you, even though you are dead in your spirit, my God, he can revive you. You can be stinking a little bit more, but he can bring life to you, because he's not looking at your condition. He's not looking of how you are. He's not looking at what you're saying, but he's seeing you for who you are. He's seeing you as a soul that needs to live and have life. It's his timing. Listen, some of us have been out there in the world, have gone wayward in the world, and gone and doing all kind of manner of things. You haven't gone too far. Listen, some of you are stinking so bad that you could just be outside of a house and they can smell you from within. You're so stinking so much that if you come walk past people from down the road, they are still smelling the stench on their clothing from your stink of sin. My God. You know, you're saying, Pastor John, why are you going there today? We're going there today because some of us are going through life thinking that Jesus cannot come and reach us because we're too far gone. Mary said, you're not that far gone. Mary said to Jesus, it's too far gone. We roll back the stone, the stink is there. Decaying is taking place. We can't rescue him right now. Why do you want this stone? Why do you want us to even feel in ourselves even more lower than we are right now? Jesus said, listen to me, my friend. I don't have time to look at all of your sin. All I want to do is do what the Father has told me to do. And that's what's about to take place. Watch this. And then it says, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, watch this, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Oh, let me wrap this up right now. that thou hast sent me. Watch what it says here. Let me just move on so I can go forth with this. And when he thus has spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Listen, he never said it in no low voice. He never said it in any pretty voice. He said it, it says, he cried with a loud voice. Listen, some of us need to have a loud voice said to us so that we can understand that we've got something that we need to do and somewhere that we need to go, and we need our eyes to be open. You know, sometimes you have to raise your voice a bit. Sometimes you have to raise your voice so that people can understand a little bit more. Sometimes a pretty voice isn't happening. Some people say Jesus just spoke gently and gently and nicely to everybody. No, not all the time. When Jesus had to speak to a dead situation, he had to make sure that that dead thing heard him. Listen, he said, Lazarus, come forth. My God, it wasn't in the power of his cry. It wasn't in the power of his shout, but the power of passion that was coming through his life shook, my God, help us right now, shook that dead carcass of a being right there and brought him to life. Watch what it, look what it says here. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. My God. I wonder if there's somebody out there that can relate to what I'm saying right now. Because you see, some of us need to be loosed and some of us need to be let go right now so that we can do all what we need to do. Bless the name of the Lord. Let me just pray at this time and then we'll cut in after. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you once again. In the name of Jesus Christ, you said unto us that we ought to come forth right now. We may be dead in our sin, dead in our situation. We may be low in our spirit, but we heard your voice cry and say, come forth, my brother. Come forth, my sister. Come forth right now and then loose him hand and foot, loose his face and let him go. Father, I pray somebody out there needs to be loose hand and foot. Somebody out there needs to be loose, moved from the rag from their face, from the cloth that's covering their face and their eyes, the cloth that's covering their shame and their decay. Father, in the name of Jesus, let somebody rise up, move forward and do what needs to be done in their life. Let them not walk around in shame, walk around in guilt, walk around in condemnation, but let them rise up, lifting up their heads and knowing that they are somebody in this life and somebody in you, that their life will be transformed and changed by the renewing of their mind and their spirit and their whole body language. Bless the name of the Lord. Touch somebody today that your timing is not up until he says it's up, but your life is really there, ready to move forward. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Bless the name of the Lord. And so the Lord is coming through for you today, my friends. The Lord is coming through for you. For you, whatsoever is taking place in your life, he's coming through for you. And I'm believing God for your life today. I'm believing that he's coming through to loose you today. His timing is impeccable, as I said before. It's precise. And whatever is going to be happening in and through your life today, my God, he is there. He is there. And he's not going anywhere apart from touching your life today. Bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We come to the end of this word today. And you know something? I feel encouraged in my spirit, and I believe God is going to do something for somebody out there. He's going to do something for you. Listen, take off those dead clothes. Take them off. Get ready. God is saying, let them go. and do all what the Lord wants you to do. Bless the name of the Lord. Well, you know something? Next time we come together, we're going into another word very soon. But you know something? You have a very, very good day. Have a blessed day. Have a safe day. And have a good week.
You've been listening to Pastor Andrew John of Direct Touch Ministries International, touching hearts, reaching lives. For more information, email ajohn70@hotmail.com. You are about to listen to an anointed, challenging and dynamic word from the ministry of Pastor Andrew John of Direct Touch Ministries International. Touching hearts, reaching lives. Stay tuned and be ready as you receive this message from God's Word that will challenge your everyday life.
Greetings and welcome once again to another time in the Word of God. Bless the name of the Lord. And I must say, happy Christmas to you today. Happy Christmas to you. Happy Christmas to your family and all of you who are listening to this right here on UGN Jams. I'm so, so grateful to be able to say happy Christmas to you. I hope you're being really enjoying the day, enjoying the family moment, enjoying the time where you are together, and enjoying the reason for the season. Bless the name of the Lord. And if it was not for this reason for the season, we would not be able to celebrate it in this fashion or in this way. Bless the name of the Lord. And you know, we got to give thanks to know that we can enjoy life and enjoy Christianity at its best, or to the point where we know it for ourselves in our innermost being, that the Lord is real and we are celebrating the life of Jesus Christ, the birthing of Jesus Christ, and the beginning of his entry into the world, the beginning of the journey in which he's going to make. And my God, are we going to go into something today, how our lives are set in a way that it's important for us to understand that we are here for a purpose, and that purpose is to do good and not to do evil. Bless the name of the Lord. Well, our greetings go out to our Dr. Dave P and our minister, Helen Lepaul, of this number one internet gospel station, UGN Jams. And once again, what a joy, privilege, and honor it is to be a part of such a grand team. And my God, happy Christmas to you. To you both, and to the two lovely children, Ethan and Tobias. We're so grateful for your lives, and happy Christmas to the UGN family as well. It's been such a great support and team working throughout the year. Such a joy, and it's good to be able to have a nice fun laugh and also the seriousness of spreading the gospel as well. But it's so good to be able to work with people who enjoy working together and enjoy spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So once again, we send out our love, greetings, and respect to UGN Jams family, Dr. Dave P, and I hope you're enjoying the console that you have there. You know what? I'm not even going to go there with you today, but you know, you can put that one in your tick box. That you know that you're going to, I'm sure you're going to ring me up after this. But you know what? I'm so glad that you can enjoy yourself with the family, with the loved ones. And it's just a tremendous time to be a part of such a great team. So God bless you, UGN Jams. Happy Christmas to you, and happy Christmas to the UGN Jams team. And we are so glad to be a part of such a strong force going on to do greater things as the days go on. Bless the name of the Lord. Well, as you know that we are looking at this time where even as the politicians can't get it right, the government can't get it right, And it's just haywire at the moment. It's just all over the place. Variant of COVID-19 spreading and transmitting very quickly from one person to the other. We are, the government is now locking down people. I'm sure there's loved ones who've tried to travel to see their parents, their brothers, their sisters, and whoever it may be, just to have that moment together and feeling fearful just to come out of their homes. And, you know, this is not a very good show. It's not a very good way to end the year where you can't even go to be with your loved ones. That is a very terrible thing to be even projecting at this point in time. And I do understand that they're trying to prevent the actual situation where people may get into a point of spreading the virus. But you know something? You know something? I understand both sides. It's made it very difficult. But you know something? If you have the reason for the season in your spirit, if you have the technology which they have out there right now, the Zoom connections, if you're able to create a bubble, if you're even able to just say hi to a loved one or send a message to people around to be able to just be in communication with that loved one, please do that, because, you know, this is not a very nice time for some people who are living on their own, elderly and so forth, and disabled, those in care homes, different things, different positions. But I pray the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of the living God, the spirit of Christ being brought into the world today. And as it says in Galatians, in light of allowing the spirit of the Son to enter into our lives, to show forth the greatness of who he is, I pray that that will be a strong reminder, helping us to get through this particular season, this particular moment in time, that the presence of the Lord will give you that peace that goes beyond your understanding, that will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord. We are going into a word today, but I'm really grateful to the Lord for all of what is taking place today. And we bless God for what he's about to do in and through our lives. My God, Christmas is such an exciting time, and we ought to get excited about it more and more and more and more. So we bless God for his word today, and I hope that this is going to be challenging you in whatsoever way and form. Bless God. You know, we spoke a word the other week with a great fellowship that I am acquainted with. And I brought that word because it came to me in the week. There's, you know, sometimes a word can come to you each time you know, go through days or life. And, you know, some titles can come to you as well. So we're just praying, God, that this title today will touch your life. And I think and I believe that it will be just right for you today. And I hope that you can relate to this. The word that came to me is the name that comes with a price. The name that comes with a price. And so let's have a look at the scriptures today. Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to read it from verse 6. And I believe we've heard this today. And we've heard it probably many times. But we've received that word today. So we're going to read Isaiah 9. Reading from verse 6. And it goes like this. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I'd just like to share with you about that name, the name that comes with a price. Now, you know what? We have to look at the name of Jesus and we have to look at his life. And we see throughout scripture that there's so many different names that is recognized with Jesus. But this is one portion of the scripture which I want to highlight to us today, especially for the reason of the day. And we have it here where he's spoken about by the prophet Isaiah, the major prophet of God. And we are looking at what he says here. And he says here from the outset, "For unto us a child is born." This child was recognized, born into this world by what you call prophecy and by an angel speaking unto Mary, the one who conceived Jesus and was able to carry the Son of God and was chosen at that time. A virgin who had never seen any man at all or being with any man at all. This was a virgin that received, my God, the birthing of Christ into her life or through her life. And so it says unto the here, "For unto us a child is born," prophesied, spoken to by the Holy Ghost, spoken to by the angels of God, brought to the point where two people, husband and wife, traveling together, my God, to be able to carry this burden. I have to say burden because nobody at that time was able to do anything outside of marriage, because if they do, it's seen as what you call adultery. And so therefore they had to try and hide this situation and try to make it look like that it wasn't something out of the ordinary or that it was just a natural thing that was taking place. But in the midst of all of that, they had to go and carry this burden, a burden that was strong and powerful, a burden that was going to bring forth greatness into the world, a burden that was going to change the shape of the world and transform it in such a way that people would come to the knowledge of who he is. But it was a hard time for them. It wasn't an easy time. And the thing is, when a woman now has conceived and a woman now goes through the monthly stages of pregnancy, my God, there's no hiding going on. So there was a show of what was taking place in her life. But this child was a special one. The word of God says right there that his father, or the one who was going to, his earthly father, was going to be able to cover and bring forth that child. And the angel said right there to him that you will call his name Jesus. That's the name you're going to give him. His name shall be called Jesus. We heard that already. We've read that before, and we know where that's going right now. But I'm glad when it says on the outset, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." So a son has been given unto us. You know, it's great to, when a child is born into the world and everybody rejoices. And the Bible says that we ought to rejoice when one passes away and be in sorrow when one is born into the world. But this says here, a child is being born unto us, but not just a child, a son has been given. The word of God says that for God so loved the world that he gave. This son was given unto us. He gave his only begotten son. So his son was given unto us. So here we are receiving a son, receiving a king, receiving someone who's going to be of royalty. Let's move on and see what else it says about this son. It says it there, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." In other words, he's going to be representing greatness and power. He's going to be representing something that is heavy, something that has power, something that has what you call a host behind him. He won't be weak. He will have a government behind him. It shall be upon his shoulders. My God, listen, let me see if I can help you with this. You see, when you are brought into life, you need to understand that there is a commission, there is a responsibility, there is a burden that may come upon you. You don't know it, but you've been brought into this world for a reason. And that reason is that you have a purpose to change something in life. I wonder if you're hearing me right now, because some of us out there are thinking to themselves, I'm just here to just cook. I'm here just to have babies. I'm here just to be a waste on the street. I'm here just to add in the gap. I'm here just to work 9 to 5. I'm here just to sweep the streets. I'm here just to be in the background. I'm here to be in the forefront. I'm here to be trouble. Listen, there's many of us may have reasons and negative reasons about ourselves why we're in the world, but you're not here as a negative. You're here as a positive. You're here as somebody that is a game changer, and you're here to make a difference in this world and in this society. Don't see yourself as some kind of misfit and you don't have any use in life. Don't see yourself that you cannot achieve. Don't see yourself that you're a waste of space, but see yourself as somebody who can be a change, make a change to the world today, that people can look to you and see the legacy you have left in life. Bless the name of the Lord. So he says that the government will be on his shoulders. He's holding responsibility. But look what else it says. And his name, watch this, shall be called Wonderful. Now, some of you might be saying to yourself, well, you know what, I'm sure in the scripture it says that Joseph was supposed to call him Jesus. He wasn't supposed to call him anything else. He's supposed to call him Jesus. Now, in light of him calling him Jesus, Jesus had many other names. And that's the thing what we need to understand here right now, that with the name of Jesus, it has many other names that come with it. And these are the few names in which we're reading right here, right now. What we're reading right now. Joseph had given him, he was commissioned to give him the name Jesus. Yet still, here we have in the book of Isaiah that there are some names here that would relate to who he is. I wonder if there's anyone out there that has nicknames. I wonder if you've had names that's labeled on you from when you were at school, when you were at college, when you were in your workplace, as you were growing up with all your friends around you, who your locals, your very own family gave you nicknames. Many of you have got names, and some people don't even know your original name because they only know you by the name that's been labeled on you as a nickname. And some of you don't have one name, you have many. You have many, many names. I know people around me that have many different names that they've been called. And some people, as they go through life, they rather that name than their original name. But here we have Jesus right now. Jesus has a name that's been called to him as Wonderful. What does it mean by being called Wonderful? It means that he's a wonder. Take the full out, we say wonder. He is a wonder. My God, he's somebody who's not ordinary. His wonder is a wonder, and he's a wonderful person. He has greatness about him. You know, you have this movie called Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman means that she was almost like invincible. She was what they would call Queen Diana, part of that. That's what her name was in the movie. Diana. She was a wonder. Wonder Woman. She did extraordinary things. She did things that any other woman and any other man could not do. Jesus was recognized as Wonderful. He's beyond ordinary. So when he came into life, he was a game changer, and he made a difference. He will make a difference because his name will be called Wonderful. What else is it called? Counselor. He's called Counselor because he has the wisdom to be able to speak things in situations that will bring great counsel to any given situation. Whatever you want to bring to him, he will give you the right words. He won't run away. Listen, there are people who can give you good counsel, and there's people who can give you bad counsel out there. But we have to understand, he was the great counselor. The one that would give you advice, give you direction, give you peace in your spirit that nobody else can do. He was called Counselor. What else? The Mighty God. Not the Almighty God, but the Mighty God. You know the Father is the Almighty, but he was mighty too. He was of his Father. As you saw the Father, you saw him. And as you see him, you see the Father. That's what Jesus said. He was recognized as the Mighty God. When people saw him on earth, they recognized him as not just a prophet, a great man of God. The Jewish people saw him as just an ordinary man in some cases, and they wanted to keep him that way. But they also saw him as a mighty man of God, a mighty man that was different to everybody else. The Muslims recognize him. The Jews recognize him. The earth recognizes him. And the Gentiles recognize. Listen, he drew so many people to himself because he was recognized as the mighty God. Look what else he was recognized. The everlasting Father. So he was once seen like his Father, as I said before. When somebody is recognized as their Father, they recognize the two as one. The Son as the Father and the Father as the Son. He was recognized as the everlasting Father, the one that will not cease on what he needs to do in your life. You know, you have some fathers that are just there for a temporary set time. He's not like your earthly father, or not like some earthly fathers who don't have the time of day for your life. They're there ready for when you are small, and some are not even there for that. But they may come when they see you amounting to certain things, or they may come along to see you when they're in trouble. But a father should be there all the time. A father should be there to help out and to support and to give input all the time. And it's important that a father does that in many people's lives. But here we have Jesus being recognized as the everlasting Father, not the part-time Father, not the temporary Father, not the non-biological Father. He is the everlasting Father, the Father of the fatherless and the Father of those who recognize him for who he is. He is the everlasting Father. Look what else he says. He's also the Prince of peace. He's not the prince of darkness. He's not the prince of this world. He's the Prince of peace, the one who rules and reigns in peace, the one who wants to bring peace to the world. He wants to bring joy, but he also wants to bring peace. He's the one who knows, who we know, that when he's involved in our situation, he will bring peace. Listen, I wonder if there's someone out there that hasn't got any peace in their spirit or in their soul. I wonder if there's someone out there, even though it's Christmas, you still don't have peace. My God, I believe I'm talking to someone right now. You still don't have peace. You're worried about tomorrow. You're worried about corona. You're worried about death. You're worried about situations that are circling around you. And you're worried about your past. You're worried about your future. You are worried. But the Lord God Almighty says it like this through his Son, Jesus Christ. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Oh my God, cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. I pray there's somebody out there who's hearing me right now, because you see, all the burdens that you have in your life, cast them onto Jesus, because he is your peacemaker. He is the everlasting Father and the Prince of peace. My God. But you know something? Everything comes with a price. With all of these lovely words that's been said about Jesus, it also comes with a price. Did you know that when Jesus came into the world, he was being chased after before he was even born? We know Herod was there and he spoke to the wise men and tried to get word or location to where he is. And those wise men, although they were into astrology, they knew that when they saw Jesus, they knew straight away, this guy, this child is a special child. We're going to give you gifts. We're going to give you something to send you on your way, Mary and Joseph. We are offering unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But you know something? Be on your way. Get out of here because there's a King Herod out there that don't like you. He thinks you're taking over his kingdom and his rule. Get out of town. And so much so, they went out and slew all of those firstborns and so forth after one king. Now watch what happens now. So as life goes on, there's different names that's been told about Jesus. He was shown that he was a lawbreaker. He was shown that he was a blasphemer. He was shown that he was a renegade, my God. He was shown that he was just a prophet and he was just some other man. But one of the worst words that he was addressed as was Beelzebub. He said that, my God, these men came and said, you don't do the works of God. You do the works of one who is called Beelzebub. You are under him. You must be him. Can you imagine the words that's been said about one whose names that's been mentioned right here? Great names at that, yet you're being called Beelzebub. Why? Because your name, your great name, will come with a price. Oh, merciful Father. It wasn't all greatness that came with that name. There was a price to pay. There was a price to pay because many people didn't like him. Listen, you may have been called Sue, Harry, whoever you may be. Whatever name you've been called, there's a purpose behind your name. And you need to live up to that name. Because it's been given to you for a reason. Your father or your mother, whoever gave you that name, was given to you for a reason. You may have other names attached to you that make you great. But there's a price that you're going to pay. There's a price to pay. And somehow, through the course of time, God is going to give you strength with that name that you have. And you're gonna know it for yourself. You really gonna know it for yourself. But I'm praying God is gonna come through for you with mighty strength and power. I'm praying God is gonna open up your eyes right now. I'm praying God is gonna show you something great right now as we speak this word. So can I just do something for you? Can I just pray for you right now and just send a word of love and care into your life? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I'm so grateful for you. I pray God will pour out his spirit and his strength into your life. I pray that even though you are going through persecution, you're going through hardship, you're going through loss, you're going through pain, in the midst of all of that, Jesus, you know the name you've given to that brother, the name you've given to that sister, the one who's coming into the world today. You have a reason for that person because you're going to make them great. But in the midst of all of it, Father, I pray you will shield them, strengthen them from all kinds of threat to their spirit and to their soul. And you'll let them come through with mighty strength and power. There's a price to pay for having the greatness in your name. But God, do something for them right now. Let your Holy Spirit surround them. And especially in the light of Christmas and in the light of this season, I pray you're covering about their life right now as we continue to live you up, as we continue to glorify you and give you thanks right now in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. And so the Lord is coming through for you, and I pray God's strength for your life today. Bless the name of the Lord. And you know something? I'm believing God for your life because your name is recognized just like Jesus' name was recognized. And don't worry about things, because if Jesus went through it, so can we. My God. If Jesus went through the pressure, we can too. So I'm praying God will give you strength. And in the midst of all of the persecution and the word calling that's coming to your life, listen, some of you don't even see what's taking place. Some of the names that's been said to you, you wouldn't even believe that's coming from somebody's mouth that is so near and close to you. But you know something? Brush it off. Brush it off and move on. Nobody's saying to you to hate the ones who hate you. The word of God says those who hate you, you ought to love those who hate you and falsely persecute you and accuse you of different things. There are accusers of the brethren out there, and you have to know for yourself that you are riding above that, because greatness is in your name, but it does come with a price. I pray God's blessing upon you for this Christmas day. I pray God's blessing upon you throughout this Christmas season. And you know something? Jesus is the reason for the season. Don't you forget that. I know I'm wearing red today, and it's not because of Santa Claus. I just want to get with the motion of things. But you know something? At the end of the day, and all what is taking place, and everybody who's been involved, I thank you very much for those who've been involved in this day. But you know something? I'm speaking a word of life over your life today, and I pray God will give you strength to see tomorrow and to be able to enjoy this day. This day that the Lord has made, please rejoice and be glad in it. Bless the name of the Lord. Well, we are so grateful to God for the word today. You know what? You please have a lovely, lovely day. Enjoy your day and enjoy the time of this season over the Christmas period. And I pray God's blessing upon your lives. And I pray, even with all what is taking place, God will give you continuous strength and uplift through your life. So please have a very good day, have a blessed day, have a safe day, and have a blessed week.
You've been listening to Pastor Andrew John of Direct Touch Ministries International, touching hearts, reaching lives. For more information, email ajohn70@hotmail.com. You are about to listen to an anointed, challenging and dynamic word from the ministry of Pastor Andrew John of Direct Touch Ministries International. Touching hearts, reaching lives. Stay tuned and be ready as you receive this message from God's word that will challenge your everyday life.
Greetings and welcome once again to another time in the Word of God. Bless the name of the Lord, and I must say happy 2021 to you today right here on UGN Jams. And we're so grateful to the Lord that we've stepped over, we've made it over, people. We have got there, and we are so grateful to God to give God thanks for life. I'll tell you, if there's ever time to give God thanks for life, it is now, people. It is now. Just the fact that you're having these viruses that are going around and so forth, and people not even realizing how a simple, and I say simple because there is what you call an answer to all of this, but a simple virus that is threatening the world, one that you can't even see with the naked eye. One which is invisible to touch and to see around you. One that is like just a vapor in the atmosphere coming from the mouths of us people is a threat to society. And many people are fearing, even when they get a little bit of a sneeze, a little bit of a cough, they get a little bit of a wheezing, they're thinking the worst of that could happen to them. Even that is causing life to be at a threat at the moment. But we can thank God, even with all of that, we can say hallelujah to the Most High God that He is with us, He has kept us, and He is strengthening us throughout the day, and that we can say, bless the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. We can bless His holy name to say that we've reached 2021. Bless the name of the Lord. We're so grateful to God for this, and we're so honored to know that God is real and that he's taking care of our lives. And wow, I'm telling you, do we have something in the Word today? And I'm going to keep it as straight and as direct as possible today. But you know something, we're going to get to that in a moment. But before I do, I must say greetings to our Dr. Dave P and our Minister Helen LaPaul of this number one internet gospel station, UGN Jams. And a big happy 2021 to you. Happy New Year to you and to all of the family of UGN Jams. Real grateful to have you here today. And I bless God for your lives. And we bless God that God is going to use the workings of UGN Jams to touch the nations of the world and to do something great and mighty in the lives of the people today. So we thank God for UGN Jams. We know that this year is going to be a great year, and I believe that God is going to come through with something different, something with strength and with power to touch the lives of the people, because this is a voice for the nations. My God, this is something which is touching people's lives all over the globe. So we bless God for UGN Jams, we bless God for Dr. Dave P and Minister Helen LaPaul, and we bless God for the entire family, Tobias and Ethan, and the entire UGN family. We give God thanks and praise for your lives. And we are going forward and not looking back. We're going forward. 2021 is behind us now. We have to move forward. And we know the residue of 2021 has trickled over into the residues of 2020 has trickled over into 2021. But we are still faithful, still knowing that God is faithful and that we will stand our ground and do great and marvelous and mighty things for the workings of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless God today. And you know, I'm asking you as well just to be praying for the island of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. That's my my motherland, I would say, from which my parents were born. And at this precise moment in time, there is something going out in light of the panic of the eruption of Le Soufre, the volcano on that volcanic island, which is very much active at the moment. And lava is coming forth out of the center of the volcano. And so we're asking that the people of God, people all over the world, will be praying for the island of St. Vincent, that safety will be there for everyone and devastation will not be their portion. But we pray God's strength for their lives, and we pray God's blessing on them at all times, that the Lord will come through with mighty strength and power and do something right there to seal off the possibilities of danger, and that God will come through and the people will be glad and the people will turn and give God thanks for this very, what you'll call, troubling year, beginning of a troubling year for the residents and the inhabitants of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, the main island of St. Vincent. My God. So please, if you can, pray for them. Send forth your prayer at this time that God will come through with grace and mercy upon the people. Bless the name of the Lord. Well, you know, we are obviously going into 2021, which we, as I said, the residue of 2020 is coming over onto 2021. Brexit is now here in place. The deal has been set, and the schools are closed. And we know that the Lord is still with us, but yet there is still chaos around us. But you know something? We still trust in the one who keeps us. And if we didn't, then we would be in serious trouble. But you know, I want to read a word for us today. And I'm not even going to try and add too much to the word today. But this word here, I thought, let me see what's going on here. And I'm going to use two chapters today out of the book of Psalms. And the two chapters very much entwined together in lines of encouraging us for this year and the days ahead. And let's see where we go with this word, because I'm telling you, God is really going to be speaking to us. And I hope that, you know, as they say, nothing should be taken from the word or added, and nothing should be diluted from the word. But this word, I'm sure you can read for yourselves and make up your mind for yourself on the direction in which you're going and whom you believe in. Bless the name of the Lord. So we're looking at Psalms 20 right now, and Psalms 21. How did you guess? Psalms 20 and 21. 2021, people, take this note it and receive it today. Let's have a look at this. It goes like this: Psalms 20 and verse 1. Let's go for it and see what this says. And then it says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble." I wonder if you heard that beginning outset right there. "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the Lord of Jacob defend thee." My God, we already started right here in the beginning of the year that we ought to be assured that God is with you and he hears your cry in the day of trouble, because the Lord is there to defend you and I. Bless the name of the Lord. I wonder if you know if God is your defense today. I wonder if you know if God is your left hand and your right hand. I wonder if you know that God is encamping around you with the angels of the Lord, protecting you today and keeping you alive and allowing your mindset to be fixed upon him. Let's read on and see what it says. And then it goes on and says, "Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of thine." Oh my God, help us today. "Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion." The sanctuary will send forth help. Listen, when you start to pray, the sanctuary comes forth together and prays. That's why it's good for the church to pray together. It's good for the church to entwine together. It's good for the church to be united together. Whether you are with each other or not, be united together. Let nothing come in between to destroy or separate you. Listen, I know the church has gone through what you call a time of separation, like everybody else. But the church is an institution that is very much together and feed off being together. The word of God says that you should not forsake the assembling, the unity, the coming together of the brethren. But we should be able to come together so that the word of God can come into us. The word of God says that when two or three are gathered together, touching things concerning him, he is going to be in the midst. There's something about togetherness. There's something about unity that brings power and strength. And he says right there in the word, "Send thee help from the sanctuary." Send help from the sanctuary, that holy place. Send help from there and strengthen thee out of Zion. Bless the name of the Lord. Bring fire and power out of your people right now, that we can stand upon your word right here in 2021. Let's read on. "Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt offering, Selah." Remember all of thy offerings, all of what we've given unto the Lord, all of what we shared with the Lord, all what we've partaken with the Lord, all what we prayed about. Listen, when you are leading up into different times of life, you must always remember what you've offered up to God. Listen, God hasn't forgotten anything what you've said, anything what you've prayed, anything that you've inquired, anything that you've declared, anything that you've given unto the Lord. He will not forget that. So we're asking God, "Remember all of thy offerings. Remember all of thy offerings and accept thy burnt offerings." Everything that you've offered unto the Lord, God, we're asking God to accept and remember these. Nobody's looking for the best thing, but the Bible says that obedience is far better than any other sacrifice that we've given unto the Lord. But we're asking the Lord, remember all of our pleas, all of our requests, all of our prayers that's gone unto you for our mothers, for our fathers, for our aunties, our uncles, our brothers, our sisters, our sons, our daughters, our nation, our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones. We're asking God to remember every single one of our offerings that we've prayed in 2020, in 2019, in 2017, in 19, whatever. Remember our prayers and fulfill them right now, Father, in now, this year, 2021. Let not our prayers and our offerings be in vain. Look what else it says. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsels. We're asking God that he will grant us everything from his own heart. That God will give us according to how he sees fit. Not what we see fit, but how he sees fit. So as he hears everything what we offer unto him, we pray that God will answer wisely and do things correctly. We know that because God is the author and the finisher of our faith. My God, help us today. And I pray God is going to come through with strength for our lives today, that he will show us the right way to go, that he will grant unto us, my God, the greatness from his heart, and it will fulfill all, not some, he will fulfill all of his purposes. That word counsel means purpose, my God, that he will fulfill all of that unto our lives. Let's move on. We will rejoice in thy salvation in the name of the Lord of our God. We will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. He will fulfill that. We will set up all of our banners. Listen, we don't wait till the battle is over. We're going to shout now because we know in the end we are going to win. It's time for us to rejoice right now. Don't look at all the situations that's taking place around us. Rejoice right now and know that God is coming through with fire and power for our lives. Look what else it says. Now know I the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven and with the saving strength of his right hand. God says that he's going to save his anointed. I wonder if you're anointed out there right now. I wonder if you're somebody who's anointed out there, who knows who they are, the ones who are called by his name. I wonder if you know what I'm talking about. He says that he has saved his anointed, or the Messiah, the commissioned one. He saved the one who's been commissioned. Listen, I wonder if you've been commissioned out there. I wonder if you know that you've been called by his name. I wonder if you know that God knew you before you was even brought into this world, before you was even thought about for your father and your mother, before you were even conceived, God knew. And before you came forth out into this world, God sanctified you and ordained you to be the commissioned one, to be the chosen one, to be the one that is living for this time and for this hour to fulfill his purpose. I wonder if you know what I'm talking about right now. You are that anointed one that the Lord has his right hand upon your life. Watch this. Some trust in chariots. Verse 7. My God, let me hear if somebody's going to shout aloud today. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I wonder if there's anyone out there that's just trusting in the things around them. They're trusting in their car. They're trusting in their house. They're trusting in the government. They're trusting their friends. They're trusting their loved ones. They're trusting their pastor. They're trusting their husband and their wife. They're trusting in their children. They're trusting in the electronic things around them. They're trusting in their vehicle that they have. They are trusting in all of the things in which they see. And I don't blame you to do that, because you have to trust in something you see to certain degrees. But my God, God help us today. My David says right here in this word, he goes that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord God, the one who keeps us strengthened and satisfied through the thick and the thin. Look what else it says. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. We are risen and stand upright. Many of them are falling down around us, but we will stand, my God, and rise up to be strong in what the Lord wants us to do. Bless the name of the Lord. Look what else it says. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Listen, my God, we have to be able to shout aloud. We know that God is going to come and save and deliver. We know the King is going to hear us. We know all those around us will hear us, and he will show forth his mercy upon our lives. Listen, when you see situations happen, point to that situation and tell that situation to die. Tell that situation to bow. Tell that situation to humble itself right now and take your journey before you go in a rough way. Listen, we know the Lord will hear us. He will save and he will hear and he will do great and mighty things for our life. Let's move over into Psalms 21 now. We're going to whiz through this as quick and timely as possible. Watch this. The King shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how great shall he rejoice. We need to rejoice greatly in the salvation of the Lord. We need to rejoice, not only just rejoice, but rejoice and thou shalt have joy in thy strength. We have joy in the strength of the Lord. We have joy in the power of the Lord. The Bible says that there is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's not our joy, that's the joy of the Lord. That's who we have to have joy and strength in. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Watch this. That has given him his heart's desire and has not withholden the request of his lips. God will hear your cry and he will not withhold from the request of your lips. I wonder if you're hearing me today. Somebody out there needs to hear what I'm saying, because you need to understand that the request that comes from your lips will not be dismissed. My God, help us right now. If God sees fit for you that request comes through and it's sincere and it's true and it's pure, he knows that requests will be made known. But God is not a fool. God is not unwise. God is not moved by our own fleshly pleasures, but he's moved by the passion from our heart. He will not dismiss, my God help us, the request of his lips. My God. Watch what else it says. Oh, merciful Father, for thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. God says, for thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. He prevents him. He prevents the blessings of goodness, but he gives unto us. He gives unto us great and mighty strength. He shows unto us that word preventus means that he meeteth us, or he give unto us, or he comes to us with the blessings. My God, he brings forth to us the blessings of goodness. Thou preventest, or thou holds back, or thou meets us with the blessings which comes to our lives with goodness. And not only that, he sets the crown of pure gold upon our heads. Listen, God is not going to withhold anything back from you or I. The blessings of goodness and pureness come unto us. He gives unto us greatness and power into our lives, so that as we absorb that which God has for us, he crowns us as well. I wonder if you know that there's a crown of righteousness waiting up for you and for I. I wonder if you know that there's something stored up for us, that as we are walking through life, God is crowning us each and every single time. Watch this. He asketh life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. God will grant you life. Listen, I know that we've had loved ones who've passed away. People have passed away at a short space of time in their life, but the life that they have lived has been fulfilled to the degree that God desires it for their life. Listen, let me tell you something. There's no life right now that has been cut short. Merciful Father, I'm speaking something right now. No life has been cut short. People's lives have fulfilled the purpose in which God has for them, especially when you're called servant of God. When God has you in his hand, he will fulfill all what needs to be done for your life. He will not cut it short. It's given you length of days forever and ever. God has given you life and given you it more abundantly. My God, help us right now today. I know somebody's wondering and pondering in their mind, but God will fulfill your life. Listen, if he can take his own son's life back at 33 and a half years, my God, 3.5 years of strong ministry, evident ministry, if his life can be taken before his 35th birthday, before he even reaches his 40s, before he can say 50, my God, his life was taken. And if his life was taken back unto the Savior, unto the Father himself, then what of us? We have fulfilled our purpose. Let nobody speak a word in your life and say your life has been cut short. God has your life in order. God knows who you are. He knows exactly you're going out and you're coming in. Listen, let me see if I can move on with this. I can wrap this up. And then it goes on. It says, his glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. His glory is great in thy salvation. His glory is great in his help towards you and I. And his majesty thou hast laid upon him. Listen, my God, you need to understand that when God comes through for our life, and when he comes through to help, the glory of God is very evident right there that he has come through for us. Watch this. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceedingly glad with thy countenance. God will make you exceedingly glad with his countenance. He will not make you look shame. And even if you go through some battles and you go through some treacherous and hard times, his countenance would remain upon you. Look what happened to Stephen when Stephen was stoned. My God, the countenance of him was said, they said it appeared as of an angel. Listen, when God's countenance is upon you, no matter what you're going through, it will be shown on you exceedingly glad upon your life. Watch this. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. God will not move you because you trust in him. He will not move you because your hope is in him. When you hope in God, he stays with you. And you will not be moved no matter who troubles you. Watch this. Thine hand shall find out all thy enemies, and thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. There are people out there that don't like you. There are people out there that despitefully use you, but he knows who they are. God says, I will fish them out. God says, I will find them out, and they will not come up against you. You'll still walk strong. Even if they hate you, you'll still walk through. Listen, I know there's somebody out there knows what I'm talking about, but let's move on. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. Oh, merciful Father, the Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Listen, your enemies will be devoured. Now, we don't want our enemies to be devoured, so therefore, don't become an enemy. But God will defend, God will stand strong for you and for me. Watch this. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. All of their inheritance, all of their thoughts, all of their plans, all of their actions will be wiped out. Listen, your enemies will be there, but they will have to be wiped out in this year, 2021. Let's see, watch this. For they intend evil against thee, and their imagination a mischief device, which they are not able to perform. Listen, they will come with an intention, but God will uproot all of their plans, all of their actions, all of their devices. God will show forth that every mischief that they come with will not be able to perform. Watch this. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back when they shall make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Listen, when their arrows is being ready, pulled, prepared to fire against you, God says, thou shalt make them turn their back. They will have to turn. Listen, all the devices, what people come up against you, their devices will come back and their plans shall be foiled. Everything they will try and do against you, they shall be foiled. This year, 21, we speak a word that would uproot every plan of action that would try to come against one's life in the name of Jesus. Watch this, as we go to the last verse. We go into the last verse. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so let we sing and praise thy power. Listen, you have to realize that in this last furlong, you're going to have to praise God. Praise God and exalt him for who he is, because he wants you to praise him. He wants you to exalt him. He wants you to lift him up. Listen, don't worry about what's happening tomorrow. Don't worry about your enemies. Don't worry about the coronavirus. Don't worry about all those things. Be aware of them, but don't be worried about them. God is here to protect you and I. And not only that, we need to now rejoice. Rejoice! Rejoice, the Lord says, to rejoice and exalt the Lord because of his strength and his power, and sing with thy praise with strength and with power. People, don't allow yourself to be set back, but praise God for who he is today. Bless the name of the Lord. We're going to pray right now. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you once again for Psalms 20 and 21, that your name can be lifted up and exalted in this time and in this season. We pray that all the words that's been said right here will be our portion, that we will stand upon your word and we will press through with mighty strength and power. Cover your people right now from the crown of their heads to the very sole of their feet, and let your name be praised and exalted as we give you thanks right now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. My God, bless the name of the Lord. Well, you have a very good day. You have a blessed day. You have a triumphant day. And you say to yourself, I am an overcomer. Nothing shall stop me. Have a very, very good day. Have a blessed day. And have a blessed week.
You've been listening to Pastor Andrew John of Direct Touch Ministries International. Touching hearts, reaching lives. For more information, email ajohn70@hotmail.com.